2/3 of the way through our prayer and fasting, 21 days to a renewal in our hearts and lives. I'm feeling renewed. I really do. I feel encouraged. I feel renewed. There's less of me. I was putting on this belt this morning, and the regular place where the belt goes in, the pants were still loose, and I thought, oh man, there's another notch here. And so that's a good thing, just a byproduct physically of fasting. And we're asking for things that will fast some way, some meal, limit your diet, however you're feeling to participate. And even if you haven't participated thus far, this last week, why don't you just get in and participate and fully this final week in our prayer. We're asking for a regular time of prayer and fasting. We're meeting Wednesday nights here. Boy, we had a good time last Wednesday night. The good testimonies and people sharing how God has been using this time in their life just was really encouraging. So we're here Wednesday night, prayer and Bible study. And then thirdly, to do an act of service for someone, just to be intentional about doing something for someone. And that's sort of neat to get up and be thinking about it. Kay had lots of calls this week, and she was running all over. And I said to her, Kay, I said, I think you've done your acts of service for the next month and all the things that was before her. But that's a good thing. You know why? Then you don't view it as an imposition. You know, that's the whole thing. When something comes up, you don't go, oh, boy, guess they want me to do that. No, you go, oh, boy, that's an answer to prayer. I was looking for some act of kindness today and to show God's love. So that's the third thing. And the fourth one was to pray every day that God would give you an opportunity to witness. And that, again, was so encouraging on Wednesday to hear people stand and share how the Lord had used them and opportunities had opened up for them to share the gospel. That's what it's all about, being renewed, body, soul, and spirit in the things of the Lord. And so let's press in this final week and just believe this final week will be a great culmination of what God is doing in our lives. So keep all those things in mind as we move forward. Now, this morning, we want to continue in this theme of renewal. And we saw the first week we went through all the scriptures that talked about, you know, we can be renewed in our spirit, renewed in our strength, renewed like an eagle is renewed. And we talked about that last week. So many different aspects. This week, I'd like us to talk about being renewed in your inner man, your inner person, which is your heart. So we want to talk about your heart being renewed. And the verses we're going to be using to unpack that this morning is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18. Now we're going to spend our time in these three verses where he's talking about renewing our inner man. So let's see what it says. In fact, being we have it on the screen, why don't we read it all together, right out loud together? So let's start. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're going to pull four truths out of these verses that will help us to have our hearts and our inner man renewed. Now, if we just start in these verses, it says there, therefore we do not lose heart. Now, that's the whole thing we're talking about. We're not wanting to lose heart. If you don't have your heart renewed, you will lose heart. The only way you're not going to lose heart is to have your heart renewed. Now, what do we mean by losing heart? It means to get tired. It means to be disappointed. You're discouraged. You get weary. You just lose heart. You just don't feel like I can carry on. You sort of give up. And the writer here, Paul, says, we don't lose heart. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Now, whenever you see a therefore, you should see what it's there for. Or hearing that years ago. So every time and I'm looking at this scripture, it said, therefore, we do not lose heart. Well, I thought to myself, well, what's the therefore? And so I look back in the verses previous to this, and we find the answer in 2 Corinthians 4:13, just a few verses earlier. He says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, I just had not seen that before, but as I was looking at these verses, I thought, what does that mean? And then I went back to see he's quoting an Old Testament passage from Psalm 116 that the writer here is saying, I believed and therefore I spoke. And he's making this expression, I believe something, therefore I'm speaking. And so Paul goes back and he takes that phrase out and he says, we also believe and therefore we speak. There are some things we believe as Christians that if you will speak them to your heart, to your soul, it'll be renewed. And so he says, therefore, we don't lose heart. There are some things that you need to say to your heart. You know, David talked about his soul, his heart, they're interchangeable there in many ways. David talks about where he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. David just talked to himself. Now, it's okay to talk to yourself as long as your soul doesn't talk back to you. But you can talk to yourself. There are some things we believe as a Christian that you need to speak to your heart. And in saying them to your heart, it will cause it to be renewed, and therefore you won't lose heart. Now, let's see what these things are as we go forward here. And this very first verse gives us the first one. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And now, here's the first truth. Even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man can be renewed. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man can be renewed. You need to see that you're more than your flesh. You are going to be very, very much depressed if you only see what you can see with your eyes, the flesh. You have an outer man, the physical, but you also have an inner man. The inner man is your emotional self. It's your area of your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, the way you think about things. And then even deeper in the inner man is the spirit. Now, here's the beautiful thing. God's spirit, when you have God's life in you, it informs your soul. He restores your soul by the spirit that's within us. And that's why we have this big advantage over anyone that's in the world. We have God's spirit within us, in our inner man. And that, with that spirit of God, needs to inform our heart and renew it. If not, it will wear down. It wears down just because of all the pressures that come upon us. Now, it says the outward man is perishing. Well, how is it perishing? Did you look in the mirror this morning? Looking in the mirror will show you how your outward man is perishing. And over the years, it continually perishes. And you get older and older. And you are subject to disease. You're subject to sickness. Our outward man is perishing. It just happens. I remember my mom talking to me when she was up close to 90. She said to me, Ken, she said, I feel just like I did when I'm a teenager. Just that my body's worn out. And as you get older, the inward man's still there, but the outward man perishes. And the outer man puts pressure on. Now, the outer man can affect your soul. And the part of you where you think and your emotions, and this is where your heart is. And if you're not careful, the outward man will begin to affect your inward man and your soul. And so you get down, you get weary, you become disappointed, you get discouraged. And as we said, you just want to give up. Now, how do you overcome that? And what causes it? Well, it's just the pressures of life. Just things happen to us that we have no control over. And so you need to realize, okay, there's two parts of me. There's the outer part. I can't control that. But I have an inward part, my heart. And I actually am born again of the Spirit of God. And so I want to believe some things and speak those things to my heart. So the first thing you speak is you realize the outer man I have no control over. But folks, I have control over my inner man. And it can be renewed day by day. This is a daily process, not a one-time thing. You need to constantly do this day after day. So here's the second truth. We cannot escape pressures and difficulties of life. We're in this world. And things happen. We get flat tires. We lose jobs. The kids get sick. Just the cares of life, paying the bills. There's a drudgery. There's a grind of life that Jesus talked about, the cares of life. They just can sap us of some things. It saps us of our energy. And if you just, and you can't control it. It just is there. It's just going to happen. You know, bad things happen to good people. It's just going to happen. You can't get away from it. The Bible says in this world we will have tribulation. You're going to have it. You can't escape it. It happens to everybody. You will have tribulation. You'll have time, hard time. The Bible says that the sun rises on the just and the unjust, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. In other words, God says, you know, the circumstances are the same. It's not like little Abner. You remember L. Capps, little Abner, and the little character, I think his name was Joe something. But he was always, every time he was drawn, he was walking around, there was a little rain cloud over his head, and the rain was falling on him. Only him, wherever he walked, the rain cloud over his head. Sometimes we think that's how it should be. You know, bad people have bad things happen to them. But the Bible says, no, the sun shines on the just, the unjust. And that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. You know, you translate it, Christians get just as many flat tires as non-Christians. And, you know, it's just life. It is just life. You can't escape it. Now, if you don't think that that's life, you are going to be subject to losing heart. You'll be drained in your heart. This is a truth we know and we believe and we speak it to ourselves. This is just normal. I can look at other people and think they have a better life than I do, but you get a little closer, look under the surface, everybody has problems. I have a little video that we want to show for you right now that just illustrates this so well. I think you'll enjoy it. So just realize, everybody has problems. Everybody faces different things. And we're not going to be able to escape it. It's just there. It's part of life. It's part of God's design. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and 9, and these verses are just before our verses that we're looking here. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Do you see what this scripture is saying? There are times you're going to be hard-pressed. You are going to be hard-pressed. There are times that you're going to be perplexed. There's times that you're going to feel persecuted and struck down. But folks, you don't need to go to being crushed or being in despair or being forsaken or being destroyed. These things are happening, but if your heart is renewed, it carries you through those times. It doesn't have to come to the conclusion that if you don't have your heart renewed, then it's going to bring it to that situation. You know, Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation, but take heart, as we saw in the little video. I have overcome the world. We are in this life and we're facing things, but we know God has overcome. Christ has overcome. He can handle every situation. There's nothing that can overcome him. There's lots of things that can overcome us. But when we draw on our spirit and we speak those things to our heart, we realize, I don't have to be crushed. I don't have to go to despair. I don't have to be destroyed, even though all these things are happening, because God has overcome. This verse, listen to this one. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Okay, the treasure is what? We know that. That's God. That's the Spirit of God, the life of God. We have this treasure. But what's it in? An earthen vessel. It's what you see when you look in the mirror. Earthen vessels are vulnerable. Earthen vessels get cracked. Earthen vessels can be chipped. They're different shapes. They're different sizes. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And he says he's designed it this way so that the power of it and the glory would go to God. The excellence of the power may be of God, not us. So we don't think, you know, I handled this. I'm just better than anyone else. He said, no, he's designed it this way. Now, folks, if you don't see that truth, if you don't speak that truth to your heart, through difficult times, you will lose heart. You'll get down. You'll feel like you want to give up, that it's all over. You'll come to despair. But we don't lose heart because we believe some things and we're speaking it into our soul. Here's the third truth. Speak to yourself. There is a benefit in the hard times we go through. There is a benefit in the hard times we go through. If you don't speak that to yourself, you'll get down. But if you could say to yourself, you know what, there is a benefit for my going through this. The very next verse in this portion of scripture we're talking about says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So, there's something that's happening here. There's a light affliction. There's an affliction that's happening. But God's working it to bring about his glory. And here's a little formula that I would say. And this is the A part under this point. We must understand God's working in our lives. This is how he works. The affliction, he works in it and it brings glory. Now, that's how God works. See, here's what we think. This is how many Christians think he's working. He's working to not allow any bad things to happen to me. Now, if you think that's God's working, you're going to lose heart. You're going to be just knocked down from the side. You're not going to see it coming. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Hard things are going to happen. Difficult times are going to come. His working is not to protect you from it. His working is to take that affliction, add his working, so it produces his glory. Now, you need to see this. This is what you need to say to yourself. In other words, don't be concerned about what you're going through. Be more concerned about how you respond to what you're going through. That is the truth that renews your heart. That's the truth that renews you. It's the truth that allows you to handle difficult times. You say, okay, this is an affliction. God's allowed this to come into my life. Now he's going to work it. Now how does he work it? He works it for you. He's working it for you. It's not against you. It's for you. And it's going to produce a glory. So the second point is the bad things are not necessarily bad. The bad things that come to our life are not necessarily bad. You know, you hear all the time the question, someone will say here, well, why does bad things happen to good people? And, I mean, they won't understand it because the things of the Spirit, it's hard for a non-believer to understand. But the answer is because the bad things are not necessarily bad. They're only bad to the outer man. But God's taking that affliction and he's producing something in it to his glory. And so this is a tremendous truth that you have to see and believe and speak day to day to your heart. Speak it to your soul. It strengthens you. It renews you. Now look at the adjectives here. God sees this affliction as light and for a moment. So from God's perspective, when he sees what you're going through, in light of everything, he says, you know, that's a light affliction, and it's for a moment. And then he says, but I'm working, and I'm working it for you, and it's going to produce a glory. Now, what kind of glory? It says an eternal glory, a weight of glory, an exceeding eternal weight of glory, a far more exceeding weight of glory. I mean, see how the superlatives the Lord uses here? There is a light affliction here, and what is it producing? A weighty result. This one's for a moment, but it's producing something for eternity. And it's not just a little thing, it's a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Romans 3:5, Paul says, and not only that, but we glory in tribulations. Glory in tribulations. I mean, the bad things that's happening. He glories in the tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope is not disappointed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is the process. This is how God works. Tribulation comes. It causes you to persevere. Perseverance is producing character in you. Character is producing this element of hope because you're trusting in God. Your character says, you know what? God is still working here. I don't see his hand, but I know God's character. I know his heart. And so I'm trusting God's heart. It's building your character. It's causing hope in you. And then the love of God that we sang about this morning in the service, that never fails, that goes on and on and on and on. That love of God begins to be revealed in us and through us to the world. This is God's process. This is how he works. If you believe this, see it, and speak it to your soul, it will renew your heart day by day. If you don't see it, you'll get down. You'll be disappointed. You'll be stressed out. You'll be beside yourself. You'll be complaining to everyone else. There'll be lots of tears, lots of sorrow. Now, I'm not just saying you can't cry, because the outer man responds. And the outer man can cry. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying the inner man is strengthened and strong and is healthy. And I'm going through a tough time. But the inner man is speaking life. The Spirit is speaking life to your heart, speaking life to your soul. This is a powerful message this morning. This really is a powerful message if you can see it. It'll lift you up. It will encourage you. It will strengthen you. It'll allow you to experience the overcoming power of Christ. But you have to believe these things. Realize there's a benefit in the hard times we go through. We were talking about this on Wednesday. It came up in our discussion during our sharing. And I just wanted to share it here. It's Philippians 1 and verse 12. Paul is writing to this church. But you know where Paul is? He's in prison. He's in a dungeon. Not only is he there, but he has chains on him. And he's restricted. He can't move. Can you imagine this? Here's a man who's called of God. He's got the passion burning in his soul. And he can't go anywhere. I mean, he's an evangelist. He's a preacher. He's a missionary. But he can't travel anywhere. He can't preach. He can't do the things he wants to do. He's feeling frustrated. The outer man is constrained. And so he writes to this church at Philippi, and he's talking about it. And he says this, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things that happened to me actually, I just love that word, actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So Paul says, you know what? He said, I know I'm in prison and I'm in chains here, but actually, he says, I can see that some good's coming out of this. He said, I've witnessed to the guards, and the whole palace guard knows why I'm here, that I'm here for Christ. And he says, you know what? The other Christians, they actually are more bold to speak because they see how I'm handling this, and they're actually more bold to share the gospel with other people. So Paul begins to see, even though the outer man is being oppressed, his inner man, his heart, is seeing the good things that's coming out of the bad things. But Paul had no idea how far-reaching this affliction of him was going to benefit. He's in prison. What's he doing? He's writing letters. He can't talk to them face-to-face, so he writes letters. He writes to all these churches these letters. And you know where these letters are? They're here in the Bible. You know these verses we're quoting? Letters that he wrote in the prison. Paul had no idea that his being in chains was going to allow him to write letters that 2,000 years later in 2013 we're sitting here reading that the Bible is the best-selling book in the world, spread over, everybody has access, just like the Google sees your home. Anybody can pick up and read the letter here. If you had said that to Paul, he would have said, that blows my mind. That is far more exceeding eternal weight of glory than I ever thought was possible. Do you see it? Our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us to produce this far more exceeding eternal weight of glory that brings glory to God. It's how we respond to these things that produces the glory to God. Like, think about the peace of God and how the peace of God would work in someone's life. The peace of God, it says, passes all understanding. See, there's a natural peace. You know, there was a contest, and they put out that artists could make entries, and they would pick the best picture, and their topic was peace. And so different artists drew pictures, and some were beautiful landscapes, some were of a valley with cattle sort of grazing in the meadow. And so all these pictures were put in. But you know the one that won? It was a picture of this horrendous storm on the seashore. And there was a rock cliff there, and the water and the waves were coming in, and they were beating over the rocks, and they were splashing all up over all the cliff. It was just a wild scene of a storm. But right in one part of the face of the rock, there was a little nick, a little indentation. And in that little indentation was a little bird just sitting in that little place, protected by the rock around it, watching the storm. And that one first place. That's what peace is. Peace is not the absence of the storm. It's finding your place in the storm of rest and of comfort and protection. That's why the peace of God passes understanding. See, if you were going to say, well, the peace of God means no bad things happen to me. And the Lord says, no, there is going to be storms in your life. The waves are going to beat against you. But you know what? There's a secret place. There's a cleft in the rock that you can find that protects you. And that's peace. So that when the wild storm is blowing your hair straight back, your heart is at rest. And everyone's saying, how do you handle this? How can you do this? And you say, you know what? It's the peace of God. It passes understanding. I can't explain it. See, he takes the light affliction, he takes the storm, and he works in it so that we bring glory to God. That the power is of God and not of us. We have the treasure in an earthen vessel. The earthen vessel that's subject to the environment, the atmosphere. And so we go through life like everyone else. Sun falls, rises, rain falls. We're just living our life, but there's something different about us. We don't lose heart. In fact, we actually excel. We rise up in those moments, and everybody looks and says, that can't be anything but a miracle. That's got to be God, and that's what God wants. That's how he works. That's how he's designed it. Now, when you see it, believe it, speak it to yourself, it will renew your heart so that you can find this victory. All right, here's the fourth thing. Number four, we must set our perspective on things not seen. And here's the last verse in this trilogy of verses here. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Say again, he's talking about the difference here. Natural things, momentary things, things that can be seen, physical outside, but then there's things that can't be seen, eternal things. He says the things that can't be seen are eternal. Eternal things are God. Eternal things are faith in God. Eternal things are God's Spirit working in us. I can't prove it. I can't put it in a test tube. It's not a natural thing. It's something you can't see, but it is certainly something we can experience. And so we look at the things which are not seen, not at the things that are seen. So the ballast of our life is in the things that are eternal, the things that are weighty. You know, a ship. You know, the wind blows on a ship, a sailboat, and it would blow it over. But it doesn't blow it over because there's a keel, there's a ballast in the ship. And so it gives it a strength. and then you set the sail. The wind's blowing, and it doesn't matter which way the winds blow. You set the sail a certain direction, and you can actually make that boat go wherever you want it to go. But because there's a weight in the keel that doesn't blow the ship over when the winds hit the sail. And this is what we need, our inner man to be strengthened, to be weighty, to be strong. The things of God, that's what holds us secure. The winds blow, the storms come. We're not going to be able to control that. But you set your sail. How do you set your sail? By setting your mind. You set your mind what you look at. Now listen to Romans 8 and verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, it's life and peace. So a renewed heart has life and peace. But if you just look at outward things, if you just look at your circumstances, you just see, you know, the balance on your bank account. You see the physical condition you're in, or whatever it might be that's battering your life right now, the storms of life. If you just see that, you'll go to despair. You'll lose heart. You'll get discouraged. And even if it's not real bad, the grind of life will just wear you down. You lose your energy. You lose your drive. You just don't feel like you want to do anything. Yeah, well, I got to face this, and I got to go to work tomorrow. If you got to look at something different. And that's why Sunday's here, folks. That's why it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We're to come together like this and read God's word and encourage one another. And on Wednesday night, we share our testimonies. I remember going out on Wednesday night, and a couple of people said to me, I was so encouraged tonight. Well, why? Because we heard some people be talking about how God had worked in their life and how things had happened. So we encourage ourselves. So you got to set your mind on things of the Spirit. And you have to do it day by day. Galatians 6 and verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap. Now notice, if we do not lose heart. If your heart is being renewed. You're not losing it, you're renewing it. You're strengthening your heart day by day. You're going to reap some things if you don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now see how this pulls it all together here? It's telling us, listen, we have a different view. We have a different mindset. We're walking after the Spirit. We're not walking after the flesh. We're seeing eternal truths. We're believing them. We're speaking them to ourselves. And as a result, we don't lose heart. Well, what do we do then? Well, then we go about doing good. And as the opportunity for good comes up, we do it. In other words, we're thermostats. We're not thermometers. A thermometer just registers the temperature in the room, where a thermostat sets the temperature in the room. And that's what God wants us to be as Christians. We're not going around just reflecting like everyone else is reflecting the temperature of our environment. Oh, this is bad. This is bad. This workplace is bad. We're complaining about everything. Yeah, that person's bad. Oh, yeah, they should never have said that about you. And oh, yeah, the economy's bad. You know, we can just reflect what's happening and let our mouth speak that. Or we can renew ourselves. By realizing, yeah, there is an affliction here. But you know what? God's working something here. And you know what he's working? Something that's far more exceeding eternal weight of glory to his honor. And I'm going to then recognize it. And I'm going to step out in faith. And I'm going to speak it. And I'm going to do good to those that are around me. This is how we started in the first week. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Love your enemies. On and on. We don't react. We don't respond. We don't return evil for evil. reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, we return blessing, knowing that we're called to this. Now the Bible tells us, you are always to return good. Speak well. You overcome evil with good. But we don't want to. If you're just looking at the natural, you'll speak out of the natural, and you'll criticize, and you'll badmouth people, and you'll speak words that are negative, that tear down. But if you're building up your heart, and you're seeing God's in this, and yeah, this is bad, but you know what? It's actually good, and I'm believing by faith it's going to work out, even though I may not see it like Paul. I've often thought, I wonder what Paul looks down in heaven, and every time someone's reading his letter, I think he just turns and goes, wow, it just never ends, does it? I mean, I had no idea writing that letter that it was going to be used so much. There was a far more exceeding weight of glory. Now, same in your life. You may not see it. What you're going through. Stephen may never realize why he died. He was martyred, stoned to death. But we now know, Paul writes later, he was the one that he kept the cloaks and the coats of everyone that was stoning him. And it cut into Paul's heart when he saw how Stephen died. And that motivated Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, to mighty things. See, I don't know how God puts all these things together. But he does. He's working something for good. And so all I have to do is just trust him, just relax, open my heart, say, God, you're doing some good things here in my life. Now, here's three final statements. Results of a renewed heart. I wrote these down this morning, just added them here. And I think they're good. You're going to write them down. Disappointment that has been renewed with expectation results in anticipation and excitement. In other words, rather than being disappointed, let's expect that God's working something good out of this. That expecting that God's going to work something good about it raises your anticipation and gives you an excitement. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how God's going to do this, but something good's going to come out of this thing. You're not disappointed because you say, you know, it's not over till it's over. It looks on the outward like it's over, but inwardly, God's working something, an eternal thing out of this. So we can be excited and we can anticipate the future. The second one is discouragement renewed with hope results in optimism and confidence. Rather than being discouraged, we have hope. We hope in God. Something's good coming out of this. So now I'm optimistic. I'm not down. And I have confidence. I go about with a confident, optimistic spirit, doing good, believing the best, things are going to get better. That's my mindset. That's my heart. Because I'm speaking that to my soul. I'm renewing my heart in it. And then the last one, weariness that is renewed with passion results in energy and drive. Folks, you know what we need? We need passion. Passion for God. Something that's burning within us. Something that just drives us. It gives us energy. We're passionate about God. We're not indifferent. We're not half-hearted. Half-hearted? We're half-hearted when we half look to God and we half look at the outward. So we're half-hearted. We have no passion. We just sort of exist. We're just sort of there. We're just sort of a blob, spiritual blob. We already know have no shape, no form, no good. But we need to be wholehearted, passionate about serving God, excited. Gives us an energy and drive to be all that God wants us to be. A renewed heart. Do you want a renewed heart? If you do, why don't you stand with me this morning? Amen. I want to pray for us today. I want us to open our hearts and say, Lord, I'm going to set my mind and things above. And I'm going to focus on these truths. I'm not going to look at the things that are seen. I'm going to look at things that are not seen. And I'm going to believe your word. I want my heart renewed. Amen. emotions being renewed. If you feel that way, would you just lift your hand to get in on this prayer as I pray? Lord, we lift our hands this morning, saying, Lord, we need you. And Lord, we are an earthen vessel, and we're well aware of our imperfections. But thank you for your spirit you put within us. And Lord, we want to be renewed. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Lord, we want to set our heart on these truths that are so valid, but they go contrary to what we see in the natural. So Lord, give us a faith. Give us a determination. Renew our hearts, Lord, this morning, I pray, that we'd be strong and healthy, that we'd have passion and drive and excitement and enthusiasm for you, that nothing of this world will push us down, but it only pushes forward into the things of you. I pray in Jesus' name, every person to have this impartation. Amen and amen.